Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book and to give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, owner and lead editor at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how you can do this, or how you could do this. Today, I'm talking with Rachel Zinman, who I worked with as editor on her book, Yoga for Diabetes. Rachel Zinman is an internationally renowned yoga teacher and writer. She was diagnosed with diabetes in 2008, and she started her Yoga for Diabetes blog to share with the diabetes online community how yoga has helped her manage her diabetes. Rachel's articles on yoga and diabetes have been featured in Diabetes Daily, Diabetes Counseling Online, Yoga Trail, Mind Body Green, Do You Yoga, and many more. She is a featured expert for several online resources for yoga and diabetes. In this interview, we're going to go behind the scenes of her beautiful visual book on diabetes and yoga and Ayurveda and how they all mesh together in a beautiful and huge project.
Hi, so I'm here today with Rachel Zinman, and we're going to dive straight into talking about the book that we worked on together, which was actually a few years ago now, but is still very fresh in our memories because it was such a special book. So I want to welcome Rachel. Hiya. How are you going?
Hi. I'm good. Excited to chat.
Yeah, so first things first, I love to ask people how their book relates to their business so that you can get both things out there in front of people and explain to people watching what it is you do and also why the book came about and sort of where it slots into what it is that you do.
Well, I am a yoga teacher, and I also live with type 1 diabetes. I was diagnosed in 2008 when I was 42. And so the book is really about my personal journey living with diabetes, but also how yoga and the sister science of yoga, Ayurveda, can support people to live well with diabetes. So it's not just a yoga book, it's a specific yoga book on how yoga and Ayurveda totally influence your diabetes management.
So how many of your yoga people have the kind of challenges with needing to support their diabetes? How many of it is that way around that, they're already in your yoga community and they need this book? Or do you take yoga into the places where people are already talking about their diabetes challenges? Which way around?
There's very few people, like if you go into a yoga class, you're likely to never have anybody in there with diabetes, or maybe like one person. So it's not really for the general, it's really a very specific target market where you're looking at people who are living with diabetes, either type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes or gestational diabetes. There's all these different kinds of diabetes. And then you're suggesting to them that yoga can help them manage it. And so, I had to very specifically target the audience, discover the audience, work with the audience and get it all happening so that, so it was almost like I had to educate the diabetes community about how profound yoga is. And I had to educate the yoga community about how important it is to understand what happens with people who live with diabetes. Because if you're a yoga teacher and you've got someone with diabetes in your class, how you work with them, how you deal with them and all that is going to be very different to somebody else.
I hadn't thought of it that way around, of course, because you do a lot of yoga teacher training, is that right?
Yeah, so I also do yoga teacher training. And so the book for me was like, it had a couple of areas. One was to really specifically target people with living with diabetes, but then also it was like a manual, like a teacher's manual for people who are just yoga teachers, and they want to add a therapeutic branch to their teaching. And so then they could get this book and really understand in depth what happens when someone comes to their class who lives with diabetes.
Yeah, it's such a great bridge between these worlds that don't necessarily know very much about one another. And I think those are the best kinds of books that can get really specific and detailed, and there's no vagueness and no generalizing. It has to be really on point to kind of reach the exact intersection, I suppose, of people that that need that kind of information. So it's such a beautiful book.
So I just happen to have a copy. So this is the book.
And it's so gorgeous, because even though there's a lot of explanations, and we did the, oh, so beautiful, did the yoga, the asana sequences, and there's a little bit of personal story and memoir in the beginning. It's also very heavily visual, and I don't work with a lot of people who do such a visual book, but can you walk me through that process? Because obviously writing is one thing, but writing alongside images, that must have been quite challenging.
Yeah, so the first thing I did was I wrote the manuscript, and I started the manuscript in 2014. And I actually, at the same time that I did, where I started the manuscript, I did your course, Web Words and Wanderlust.
Back in the day, that's a long time ago.
And just did, like, as I was doing chapter by chapter and just kind of thinking about my voice and how I wanted, you know, how things would kind of integrate. And it was just profound for me, because it just inspired so many of the chapters. So, you know, each chapter as I was writing the book was very much about just like my personal experience, and then going into the actual teaching. You know, how do you teach, you know, what are the breathing techniques? What are the meditation techniques? What are the sequences? So that was the first step, was kind of, you know, nutting out the manuscript and just kind of going through the chapter by chapter. And then for each one, I knew that I wanted to have it be a coffee table book, and I wanted really rich imagery. I knew that I wanted to represent a cross section of women. I wanted it to be, I was really, my target market was women, women between the ages of, 20 and 60, who had an interest in yoga and who lived with diabetes. So that was kind of, you know, who I was aiming for. And I thought, you know, what are those women love? Well, most women, they love juicy images, they love nature. And then I also went into bookstores and looked at other yoga books and actually looked at what I didn't like. And went, look, I don't like this, I don't like that. These are just drawings. I don't like drawings, you know. And then I thought about people that I've worked with before, who, you know, the lady who designed my website, the guy who did the photos for my website. And I thought about how both those people really inspired me with the way that they worked with images. So I went to them and I said, look, this is what I want to do. I want to create, you know, these meditations, I've created these meditations. We've done these breathing sequences. We're going to do these physical posture sequences. And I feel like I want to, for each, because I was working with different elements, I felt like I wanted those elements represented in the visuals. So we talked about having a beach shoot, having a forest shoot, having a shoot with rocks behind us. And then we went and scouted all those locations and did test shots and talked about it and, you know, tried different things. And, you know, looked at time of day, you know, when's the best light and all that. So there was a lot of prep involved in everything. And then I had I had another photographer who I'd done a lot of shooting with, who just had a lot of fantastic stock shots, you know, shots of me, like, again, in these different kind of scenarios. So we used those shots. And then we also worked with stock photography, which was, you know, very much the graphic designer and myself kind of talking about each chapter and imagery that we wanted for each chapter. So it was a very a fluid and creative experience with the graphic designer and the photographer. And that really happens like more in 2016. So in 2014, I started writing, and I probably had nearly finished the manuscript by the time we started the graphic part of it.
Okay, and then once I was going to ask that. Yeah, and, so.
Yeah, and the other thing I did was with the models, I shot every pose first with the models, just myself, like rough shots, so that I could kind of get a sense of how the sequence would flow and how it would feel and how it would look. And, you know, then we had to do things like makeup. And I mean, there was just so much involved, you know, like someone had to get their, they had to get their hair done. We had to go and choose the costumes. You know, what were people going to wear? Mm. How was that going to sit in the location? What were the colors? Like
the whole production. So
it was like, it was like putting on a show, you know. So writing a book with rich imagery was definitely, you know, requiring me to draw on all my creative background, which is I used to be a choreographer, and what it was like to know what lighting I wanted, you know what sets I wanted, know what costumes I wanted, you know what kind of movement I wanted, the shapes I wanted. So I drew on all that to do all that. And then I had like a graphic designer who, like I said, she designed my website. I loved what she did. So we kind of went with that same feeling of femininity and beauty. And, you know, we looked at lots of different things and we made choices around the font and, you know, the shape of the book and the weight of the pages. And like, yeah.
So many decisions. And I know you said that you wrote the manuscript before you did the imagery, but when you were writing, particularly the things that you had to describe that were postures or ways of doing things, you have to have the visual in mind while you're writing the words and then make sure that they match. So I think you sent me some images so that I could, as I was reading, if I wasn't quite like getting what this looks like from the words, I could check and against an image so that I could edit accordingly. How close to when you're teaching yoga, how close is the wording to the sort of wording that you voice in class? How close is that to the writing?
It's
the
exact.
It is exactly the same.
It's exact. So everything that I wrote in terms of instructing the poses actually came from things I've written before, because I wrote a teacher training manual. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had to teach teachers and instruct that way very accurately and specifically so that it can be repeatable, what we call, you know, alignment points. So that part was actually really easy because I just took the manual and went, okay, boom. And just, you know, took the teaching points out of the manual, just put them in the book.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. Know, so the more there. Difficult part was the, I guess, getting your story out or tackling anything that you didn't do already day to day. Because you kind of, I suppose, even though we know our lives inside out, you're kind of a beginner at writing your own story, even though you've lived your story. It's very different when it comes to putting it on the page, isn't it?
Well, you know, what was interesting was before I wrote this book, I'd written another book, which was like my biography, you know, my memoir. And I spent I probably spent 3 years writing that. I wrote every day for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, it was one of those things where you're writing your whole life story from the beginning to the, till you're whatever, and it just can keep going, you know? So I actually also had chapters that I'd really worked on with another editor previously, where I was able to bring some of that in to the book quite easily because I'd already, you know, like the chapter, you know, I wrote a little bit about my mother dying and, you know, how that made me feel and how that led to my illness. And that was all, those were all parts of things I'd written before, or, you know, a certain experience that I had with meditation that maybe I brought in, I had written that already before. So it was like, you know, it was like everything I'd done in my past had all coalesced into this moment.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was actually for me effortless. The only issue was that it was time consuming. But other than that, it was like, it just flowed out of me. I don't remember having one moment where I was blocked with one thing, because everything about it was, it had this feeling of, I have to do this. Everything's culminating into
pulling you rather than you pushing.
Yeah, I just have to speak it as it comes out, you know. And like I said, there were things that I learned from doing the course with you, which were really, you know, driving me. And it actually was interesting because I started a blog, and this is something that I always recommend to people when they're writing a book and they to help them with their writer's block. Is I started a blog at the same time as I was writing the book. And the blog was kind of like my outlet, my creative outlet, so that when I felt like my writing was just getting, maybe I was just getting a little too narrowly focused and I needed a bit of a breather, then I could write about something else and just throw it in the blog, you know? And that's where I kind of, that's where, you know, it's interesting. That's where a lot of the promotion for the book started, because people started reading the blog and they got really tuned into, you know, maybe what was coming in the book. And then they got excited about that. So there were like a couple of things going on at once. You know, I was doing the course, I was writing the book, and then I was doing the blog as well.
I remember being blown away by how prolific your writing was. There never seemed to be any of this kind of resistance to the book. And it, I think a few people really experience this, this bigness of their book, where the book is the entity in its own right. It's bigger than them. And they just can't help but almost be in service to this bigger idea that they know has to happen, and it's almost like they can't stop themselves, but rather than another set of people who are like way more resistant, and it's like more of a push kind of energy to get it going. So that process took a while, and you sound like you were in flow, but then we flip over to the publishing side, which I know was a little bit more grit for you. So first question is, how did you know that you were done with the production and that you needed to focus now on getting it published? And then second, can you let us know what the publishing actually looked like? Because I think it was... Yeah. We've got 5 minutes.
I don't have to make it long. Yeah. So I knew it was done. You know, once I'd finished the shooting and we had all the sequences, because I wanted to finish with the sequences as the sort of culmination. There was a chart that you could kind of work out your constitution, your Ayurvedic constitution, and then you could choose a sequence, and then, you know, then for me, that was kind of like the culmination. Okay. And then there was going to be some sort of, you know, what is it at the end? Like an appendixes with, you know, options. There was going to be a relaxation at the end. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay. So I'd love to publish this book, and I need to, maybe, I guess I want to self-publish, you know, that was kind of my thought. No, actually the issue was, I had worked with a graphic designer. I had hired you. I had hired the photographer, and the cost in just the production was, you know, pretty pricey. And I hadn't thought, how am I going to get the money to pay everybody? And I'd already like done half of it, and I hadn't actually paid anybody. So I was like, uh-oh. That wasn't real smart. Like maybe, but I guess I thought if I wait to have all that in place, I'll never do it. So it was like, I'm just going to do it. And I'm just going to trust that manna will fall from heaven, you know, which was a little bit irresponsible, and I wouldn't recommend that. So then I decided that a friend actually told me that I should do a crowdfunding campaign. And then
I'm really glad you did, because you've also helped other authors from your experience of that.
Yeah, that was incredible. So my friend walked me around the block and said, you need to do a crowdfunding campaign. And I just dove in hell for leather and went for it. And it was the best thing I could have done, because not only did I raise the money, but a publisher approached me from seeing the crowdfunding campaign, which was very unexpected. But what I did in the crowdfunding campaign was I reached out to just as many people as I could in the diabetes community. And I basically sold the book before it even, you know, hit the ground. So it was like, I did podcast interviews. I did radio. I did TV stuff. I did articles. I was in the press. I was, you know, just anything I could do to get people on board. And I mean, I can't even like remember now how much I did, but every day, probably five times a day, I was doing something to get pledges in, you know, from, you know, putting the rewards together to, you know, just doing all the outreach. But that outreach was incredible, because then when I actually went to launch the book, which was another year later, I had all these contacts and connections overseas and people who were hosting me. And, you know, so it was incredible kind of follow through. So what happened was I did the crowdfunding campaign in a month. I raised $25,000 to produce the book, which paid everybody and was for me to do, you know, to get the crowdfunders, the supporters, their books, and get the book printed. So that was kind of, and it wasn't enough. I should have probably raised $50,000, because it's all way more expensive than you think. So, you know, if you...
To do something that image heavy as well and of that quality. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I way sort of underpriced it. And then I went with a publisher. This publisher found me through the crowdfunding campaign. He approached me. He was a small independent publisher in New York. And then he said, okay, you know, we'd like to offer you a contract. And I went back and forth, and then I decided to go with the contract. And then he said, so, you know, and then I gave him, so by then it was like, wasn't even like a finished manuscript, but then we got him the finished manuscript. And then he was so happy with it. He just, all he really thought we needed was a couple of like, maybe an extra appendix in there. There was a couple of things, but not much. And the book distributors were really happy with it. It was all like, there was nothing. Yeah, it was just seamless. So that was the next thing. I gave it to the publisher, and then he gave me a date that it would be published. And then I started setting up all the launch stuff, you know, which was, I ended up launching in 27 cities overall. And, you know, doing workshops, that was a whole other experience. You know, what was interesting from going from a, you know, a conventional publisher to self-publishing is, in hindsight, I should have self-published. Mm-hmm. I should have taken my time. I should have self-published. I would have had much greater financial reward, because so far, to be honest, when you go with a publisher, you know, if you get usually, you know, 10% or whatever. So, you know, if your book is being sold.
And you've done all that press and all that work already.
And
so the way around.
Yeah. So you end up making, you know, $1 a book or something like that, which is really, you know, to make your money back from an advance or something is really tough. Like, it just takes years. Mm. So, you know, for me, I just say it was incredible. It's been an incredible labor of love. And I know what I produced is high, really high quality and really valuable. Mm. My naivete about the book publishing business and how it all works, because when I was like, okay, I'm going to launch the book, I thought there was going to be some support from the publisher, but really they just kept saying, you're doing a better job than us. You know, we think you should just do
nice.
So I was reaching out to television stations in the States and, you know, getting airtime and, you know, getting interviews. And I did all that myself. Mm. And every time I'd reach out to them and say, can you help? They'd be like, well, we'll just send you the books, you know. And then, you know, it was like, in my mind, it was like going to be this rosy thing where I was going to be this author and make millions and sell this book that everybody wanted. And in reality, it's like been this amazing gift to the diabetes community, but it hasn't been, the publishing industry is not like that. It's like any other industry where, you know, these days you're better off just producing it yourself. And getting it out there and having it be just a slow burn, or it can be an overnight, you know, bestseller. I mean, it all depends on your marketing team and how you put it all together. So I don't want to put a downer on it. I just want to say it was just like, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be when I went.
And what I think a lot of people perceive getting published to be, one of the major benefits obviously of self-publishing is that you're completely in control of the timeline. And I have a feeling that the publishing process for you took quite a while to get from having the manuscript to actually having copies and doing your 27 city tour. But also I have an idea that you got picked up on a distribution deal with either another publisher or same publisher but in a different country. Is that right?
Yeah, so it was a worldwide distribution, so every country. I have no idea if that's actually happened or gone through. The publisher isn't really communicative about that. Yeah, so that's why I think you have to be very, very careful if you're going to go with a publisher and really check their deets. You know, who are they? Who do they distribute with? Talk to other authors that have been with them. What is their experience? How do they feel about that publisher? Like, don't just go in and go, I've got a deal. Woohoo, I'm going to be a published author. It's going to be a conventional thing. It's going to be great. Do your homework, do your research, and really find out who you're publishing with. Because, you know, I don't really know what my publisher, what, you know, what was the motivation behind my publisher wanting to work with me. I think he thought it was a good bet. But so far he hasn't, you know, it's just like, when I said to him, you know, isn't there any more you can do at one point? And he said, well, I've done everything I can do. And now it's been
interesting.
You know, I published the book in 2017. It's now 2021. And it's definitely out there, and I definitely get a lot of, it's like a great calling card for me for other things and work that I have and stuff like that. But you know, 5 years later, I haven't even made back my advance. So yeah.
It's interesting though, because so many people have great ambitions to be published with a publishing house, but you kind of fell into it. Were you intending on self-publishing originally? Yeah. And so what would you do differently if you were to write another book and publish again? Would you go the self-publishing route?
Definitely. I would definitely self-publish. I would just go in my own timeline. I would know a lot more about the costs going into it. And I would be more practical and realistic, because I'd obviously want to do a similar kind of look and feel book. Like, you know, yeah. I have an idea for another book eventually as a follow-on from this one. And so, yeah, I'd want it to be as beautiful and as professional and as amazing. And so now I know, okay, you know, to produce it yourself is going to cost this much. This is how much it's going to cost for you to make, you know, to make that money back. This is how many copies you need. This is the publish.
How much work it's going to be.
So it's been a huge learning curve. And, you know, I found it's been really beautiful to feel very confident as a writer and to be able to write in blogs and write posts and whatever I want to do. I feel very confident in my ability to write, whether I'm writing for somebody else or, you know, doing more of a journalistic thing or writing for myself or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I wrote the book, I didn't have that kind of confidence. So it was an incredible confidence builder. It was a real service to a community of people. Now, like I said, lots of people are teaching yoga and diabetes, putting the two together. It's like I've pioneered that. Now it's sort of taken off, which is fantastic. You know, if someone buys a book that on yoga and diabetes that somebody else has written, they're usually going to buy my book in that bundle as well on Amazon because it's listed there. So, you know, there's so many perks that come from writing a book that aren't necessarily about the book.
Yeah, that's so true.
What I didn't know. You know,
and would you do the Kickstarter again? You kind of raved about that. I remember it being like really the crunch point of it going ahead and really taking off and people knowing about it and stuff like that. So is that something that you would recommend?
I would highly recommend doing something like that. Yeah. I mean, you've got to have the fortitude and the ability to follow it through, and you've got to work like a demon while you're doing it. You know, it was like 24/7 for me. I mean, I slept, I think, 7 hours a day, and the rest of the time I was promoting the book and crowdfunding. The skills that you gain, the contacts that you make, the people that you meet, the feeling that you get inside when you know that you're contributing something really profound and people are acknowledging that. I mean, it's a huge thing to do, and it's really worthwhile. So yeah, I think people should definitely, if they've got something they want to put out there and they don't have the money, that crowdfunding is, you know, the best way to do it. And I've done probably done like 10 crowdfunding consults for people, and you know, it's just been fascinating to see the ones that actually succeed and their crowdfund happens, and you know, how happy they are. And yeah, you know, there's like a, what is it, like a camaraderie that comes out of, yeah, I did it. Yeah,
so, because
I would do it again. Yeah,
it's such a great way of having this target of how many you're going to sell, and you have guaranteed to sell the book before you necessarily even have finished writing it or gotten it fully produced. So it's a huge incentive, probably a lot of pressure, I imagine. But yeah, if you're in that spot where the book is bigger than you and it's like drawing you and propelling you on, then I guess it's not so difficult after all, because not a lot of books, like I say, they're a bit more of a push kind of energy, but there are some that just feel really inevitable, and that you're sort of in service to the book rather than the other way around.
I'm just having a little low blood sugar.
Okay, I think we'll wrap up anyway, so that you can chill and and rest and get your energy balanced. I know that's a very, very fine line.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for telling us all about your experience with your book. And I'll link it up below the video and make sure that everybody knows where to get their hands on your beautiful book and follow you online so that they can get your other yoga courses and see when any future books may be coming. I'd love to hear about this follow-up one. I'm really intrigued now.
Well, you'll be the first person to know when it happens, that's for sure.
Apart from everyone who's watching this.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I will I'll say goodbye, and make sure you go grab Rachel's book. See you later.